Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only show that's number one with AI bots and all those who think far out thoughts. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No
cap.
No cap.
Adrian, is there like a family lore about your name? Were you named after somebody in your mom or dad's family, or is it just Adrian's a cool name?
Well, they wanted to pick a Latino name, so made sure you do that.
Okay, but outside of that, was there any other reason?
Which we still haven't established, but Paul still says is true.
Adrian is such a classically Latino name. I don't feel like it needs to be established.
It's an axiom. It needs no evidence. That's a cool way to make arguments. That's a cool way to make an argument. No, I've told the story before on pod. I was named after my brother was the one who named me. I was named after a kid that he had a crush on in his class.
You ever get any?
Has my brother ever had sex? Is that what you're asking me?
With Adrian.
Oh, with the other third grader in his class? I don't know. He didn't tell me about that. I can ask him to send you some details.
That's cute. In third grade, were y'all in California? Him in Macklemore, except for him, it stuck.
Yeah.
Which is kind of beautiful for your brother. He listens to that song and cuts it off real quick.
Yeah, he's like, spot on. I don't need all that Christian Bible shit.
In third grade... Well, I guess you must have been in Carolina because you were born in South Carolina, right?
Good work, detective.
Unless your parents moved during pregnancy.
I don't think so.
My parents do have a story like that. My brother was born so close. He was premature.
Mm-hmm.
He was born, like, I think a day after they landed in Canada coming from Lebanon.
Oh.
And my parents were like, yeah, you couldn't do that anymore. They don't let you fly.
That's what I was going to say,
So that's their story about that is like, couldn't happen nowadays.
But he was meant to be born in Canada. That was the plan.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. He just came earlier than expected. Gotcha.
Well, I guess if you're flying pregnant, yeah, you assume the next spot is going to be where they're born if you're not pregnant. But
yeah, I guess so.
I don't think they were going for a short trip. They were moving there. They were escaping a war, Adrian.
Mm. Wait, so that wasn't about his name, though. That was just a story about his birth.
I was talking about moving during pregnancy with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thought of that. Which, you know what's funny? My brother now does that to as if he didn't grow up perfectly privileged, too. He does that to his kids where we were all on a FaceTime and his kid was acting up. And he was like, oh, you want to know where your grandparents were at your age? If you're upset that I'm taking you to IHOP instead of McDonald's, they were in a war. They didn't have IHOP or McDonald's.
Damn. That's true. That's
and
true.
I'm like, that's so funny to use that on your kids. Like you, like to steal their valor. It's stealing refugee valor. Like we grew up like that and not in the first world.
I mean, there was a war on Christmas going on while you guys were growing up.
That's true. When me and you were growing up than my siblings. We had it harder.
Yeah, they can't really claim that honor. Yeah, that was really that was on us. There's a war going on.
It was hard. I always wanted to celebrate Christmas, but I had to say happy holidays or the teachers would beat me.
They forced me, yeah.
That's really disappeared as like an issue. Do people care about the war on Christmas anymore?
There's no self-awareness, so it's not like they realized it was dumb. Did they just realize it wasn't working?
Maybe it was just disheartening to keep losing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Now there's a war on straights.
It's true. It's hard to be a straight guy now.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with that statement. It is hard to be a straight guy now.
So where did Bulus come from then? You said that was a family name, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of Pauls in my dad's family.
Gotcha. Cool. A nice biblical name. A hearty name.
Nice hearty biblical name.
Mm.
Hey, you know, the Arabic language doesn't have a P, so how do I even exist when you think about it?
Yeah, you're just owl.
Well, Bulus, B sound is usually the...
Nah, but if they're saying pow, they can't say pow.
Pow.
They can't make a pow call.
They can't make a pow call.
That's the thing about it. That's crazy. You want to know how hard my parents had it? They couldn't even make a pow call. There was no P in their language.
It was very funny. I mean, my brother was right. I was like, he was like, oh, after we go to the arcade today, do you guys want to go to IHOP? And his son was like, he was so upset about it. I was like, that sounds like a delightful day. How good is his life that, that's like not a fun option.
Was that something where like your brother didn't want to get fast food or he wanted IHOP, or like, why was there not a compromise on we can go to McDonald's instead?
I think it was just like teaching your kid that they can't get it. I don't think it was so much that he didn't want him to have McDonald's. I think it was supposed to be like a fun day, so he was going to get something fun after. But I guess like because he kind of just got upset about it, it was like, no, can't just like let him dictate everything.
That's true.
But it is crazy to get upset about getting to go to the arcade and then IHOP.
That's a great day.
Or wait, no, Waffle House. It wasn't IHOP. Have I been saying IHOP or did I accidentally flip? But that was
No, you said IHOP the entire time.
Yeah, no, it was Waffle House.
Oh, okay. That's a good time.
I know.
I was going to say, I kind of think IHOP's not that great, but Waffle House? That's a great time.
I know.
Damn. Anything going on in your life? Have you been doing any crying because you can't go to McDonald's?
I want to go to McDonald's. Why is there a boycott, man? Let me go.
Yeah. I mean, I live so close to like three different McDonald's. It does cross my mind every now and then where I'm like, I could get like a, I could go for a McGriddle. They just came out with new chicken strips. I could go for a chicken strip.
Man, I would say Dine and Dash, but you got to pay first there. They really thought of that.
Yeah. They really solved that issue.
Is it moral? I guess you're stealing from somebody else. I was like, can you go into a Starbucks and just take a drink from the, the to-go section? But you're screwing somebody else over, not just Starbucks.
I wish it was a lot more like when I started boycotting Chick-fil-A and everyone tried to buy it for me. No one's trying to buy me McDonald's.
Lexington's a funny place.
Yeah.
We've talked about it on pod before, but remember that day everybody in solidarity with homophobia wrapped a line around the entire town of Lexington to get to Chick-fil-A, and they ran out of chicken by like, oh, I always forget this, 12 p.m.
Yeah.
That's the
12 a.m. would not be that impressive, yeah.
They don't stay open that late. There ain't got anything godly happening at 12 a.m.
Ain't nothing godly happening. Were they like a 9 p.m. spot? What were they?
Oh, you know, I don't know. Probably 8 or 9.
I was never really trying to get late night Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Mm.
I found out today one of my friends used to work there in high school.
Who?
My friend Alexis. She added me on LinkedIn, and so I saw that she's postdocing in Switzerland, and I was like, oh, shit, that's cool. Let me, like, well, I saw University of Bern, so I was like, that's Switzerland, right? So I clicked on her Facebook profile, and so then I saw the about section
just said,
where it was
like,
lame. Worked at Chick-fil-A.
Bern.
Ooh, that's what it said. They're like, you're lame, bitch. You're burnt.
You're burnt.
Oh, which, by the way, can we go ahead and say really quick? You can't guess if someone worked at Chick-fil-A, but you can find out someone worked at Chick-fil-A and go, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, it's the same with Publix guys.
Oh, Publix guys. I like a Publix guy, though. I got a few in my inner circle. Yeah. A BB from the P?
Yeah, come on.
A B-boy from the P? That's a funny story of our friend Coleman used to work there, and just like classic, like, you know, there's a swimming pool in Upper C or whatever from Lexington High School. There's like older classmen jokes that you tell to newer people, where he came to me one time after he got off work and he was like, yeah, one of the older guys who works there was telling me like Publix has only been green in their branding for like 20 years. Every 20 years they switch it up. So they're going to switch to orange next year. And I was like, there's no way that's true that they're changing every store and all of the marketing and branding.
What? I feel like that's only probably swapped once. How long is Publix's corporate history that, like, this has been a 20-year cycle multiple times?
That's what cued you in? That it might be a lie? Actually, if you do the math based on how long it's been around and you carry the one, then it's improbable that,
You should get him on those, like, betting markets where you can bet on anything. But, like, put your money where your mouth is.
Hey, king of the dot.
I mean, I know that's a rap battle thing, but you know what? That's for the audience. Who knows? I don't need to know.
That's for
if
Phil.
You know, you know.
Yeah. What were you going to say, though?
What's up?
What up?
Why'd you throw up a West Side?
I kind of thought you said West Side instead of What's Up the first time.
What's up?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you said West Side.
Is this going to be our viral moment? Is this how the podcast is going to blow up? Is it going to be the next blue and white dress?
Not a blue and black dress and a white and gold dress, but just a blue and white dress. This is going to be our Laurel Yanni.
Man, remember when, this is kind of like the life cycle of, like, Wordle knockoffs. Remember when there was all those, like, slowly less and less popular. Like, ooh, some people see this thing like this after the dress and Laurel Yanni got big. Laurel Yanni was like right after, and it got almost as big, but not like clearly not as many people cared. And then there was like a slew of like lesser and lesser.
You're saying there's a comparison.
Yeah.
And the dress was the Wordle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like Laurel and Yanni was the Quartle or the Dirty Wordle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Leviosa was that's a million the map Wordle or whatever, where you have to figure out what the country is, or Flaggle or whatever, you have to figure out what the flag is.
I don't think she listened to the episode. This is a complete change of topic. I don't think she listened to the pizza episode. Oh, wait. It hadn't even come out when I asked her about it. Turns out Becca is a fan of Chicago tavern style thin crust pizza. So,
hey, there you go.
Her thing is, when am I ever hungry enough for a deep dish?
True. On this week's episode of Comedy Bang Bang, Gil Arzeri brings in a character who talks about baked ziti pizza at the end of it. And I was like, oh, I know that now. I know that.
Are they a New Jersey head?
I think it wasn't pertinent to the character, but you should listen to that segment. It's absolutely hilarious. I think someone mentions the boardwalk or something. Yeah. I'm sure we'll probably get a lot of, we're not that popular anymore, so I doubt we'll get a lot of feedback. But I wouldn't be surprised if people had gripes with our takes.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like we missed a lot. We really, like, we weren't too completionist about all the different styles of pizza.
Yeah.
And we still talked forever. And you taught me about the, what was the portmanteau for cookie pizza?
The Pazuki.
A Pazuki.
Pazuki. Yeah. But what's been going on with you since that episode? What have you been up to?
Not much. You? Oh, I watched Sinners.
Oh, okay. And?
I thought it was really solid. I think I enjoyed it more once the cutover happened to nighttime. Before that, I was a little confused. I was like...
Oh, I kind of liked it, like the gang getting back together vibe.
I think for me, I didn't get the tone of the film. And I was like, why... It doesn't feel like a period piece where nobody's acting like they're from that period. I didn't really get it was going to be like a campy, fun horror film. I was like, this just seems like a really... like,
what did you know going into it?
Nothing, really.
Oh.
Yeah. And maybe I should have paid more attention to like the like little flashbacks at the beginning. I couldn't really make out what was happening. So I was like, okay, violence happens. But I didn't get that it was going to be like a... I didn't get that there was going to be a magical element. So... the tone of the characters and the way they, like when he shot the, this is very short, close to the beginning of the film, so not a spoiler, but when he shot the two people in the street, I was like, why is the entire street not panicking? He walks across the street and it feels like nobody even cares that two people were shot dead a few feet away. And that stuff was just kind of getting on my nerves a little bit. Because, and then I got the tone once it made the flip and I was like, oh, it's not trying to be like a serious, super serious film, and I think once I got into the mood for it, I enjoyed it a lot more.
I was talking to someone last night after Distro, where I was telling him, you know, when you try and communicate internet discourse to somebody, and so you don't really have proof that people are saying something, but you're like, I saw it online, like people are talking about it. I was talking about how I saw a thread about how people were saying that they can't wait to watch it again with subtitles because they can't understand the southern accents. And he was like, yeah, and he was like, I think that's just racism. I think, like, I'm not from the South, and I can understand what they were saying. And I was like, yeah, that really took me back. I was like, that did not even cross my mind that they were hard to understand at all.
The only
they were definitely over like the top. They were definitely a little like, it was real like, you know, I don't really know what a Southern accent is, but this is probably what they sound like. But, like, they weren't hard to understand.
No, I did feel that way about some of the action scenes when they were shouting. I was like, I don't know what they're saying, but that's more like...
Is he saying Laurel or Yanni?
Yeah. But no, the beginning of the film was perfectly intelligible. But,
oh, wow. Okay, so Paul's review of a black movie, articulate. Surprisingly articulate is Paul's review of the...
I didn't say surprising and I didn't say articulate.
No. I'm summing up what you said. I'm giving you the spirit of what you said.
No. Why don't we leave the words I'm saying to me? In the words you're saying to you, okay, Adrian? Oh,
okay, yeah, sure.
I was about to compliment us as two Southern gentlemen, but clearly...
We are two Southern gentlemen.
You are not a gentleman.
No, I am. I'm a gentleman. M'lady.
Okay, yeah, media roundup. I did, talking about what I did last week, I did do something last week. I went to the Steve Jobs opera.
Oh.
Revolutions. There was a subtype role. It was like Revolutions, a Steve Jobs story. Everybody I went with hated it. I liked it more than them because I think I was just entertained by the set and the cheesiness of it all. Like, it kept me engaged the whole time. Everybody else I went with was like, what a fucking waste of time.
Damn.
The story did suck. It was objectively just kind of like a weird mess of a story where it was like...
Was it... What's the word? Let me pull out one of my Paul 10-cent words. Hagiographic?
No, it wasn't. It did okay. It did show him looking... what do you call it? There were parts that made him look like an asshole. But then it would be like they would ignore it to be like... I don't know. It still like cast him as a hero where...
Did they show him trying to treat his cancer with bell peppers?
They did. I mean, obviously the big thing was that for like a decade he didn't acknowledge one of his children.
Yeah. We've all done that, though.
For those of you that don't know, 90% of Big Facts No Cap episodes are recorded with a little girl pulling on Adrian's pant leg going, Papa, Papa, give me attention.
Papa Mina.
Yeah, and then it ended with this, like, despite the fact that at no point, like, it was not a theme at all that, like, oh, this technology he created distracts us all and is bad for us, screens and how we look at them and we're all addicted to our phones. But then the final monologue song was literally somebody being like, and even though after this is over, you're all gonna get up and the second it's over, you'll look down at your screen. Remember to look at each other, the people you love, and look up at the sky. And I was like, where did this come from? This is so out of left field.
Is that why at the end you made sure to go look at J.D. Vance?
J.D. Vance was above me at the show. He was on the balcony, but I was below the balcony, so I didn't get to see him.
I mean, it's kind of hilarious. In the grand scheme of things, but isn't it kind of established that Trump is kind of grooming Rubio to be a successor or
over
J.D. Vance? Yeah.
J.D. is kind of like, I mean, I think
he's
most
a charisma
people,
void. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. J.D. is a bit of a charisma black hole. Like he's like acting the part, but you can tell it's not like a natural fit.
Yeah.
You think Rubio's got the sauce?
Nah.
I mean, he does keep giving him jobs. Every time he fires somebody, he's like, and now Rubio's doing it. He's going to do a wonderful job.
He's my nanny now. He does a great job.
Now that Ivanka is no longer part of the campaign, I have a new baby girl. Her name's Rubio. I love her very much.
Her name's Consuela. She's really in her element.
You think it's one of those things where he calls Rubio by a different Hispanic name every time he sees him?
Yeah, yeah. And he always gets wrong which country he's from. I've got this Venezuelan son now, Marco Rubio.
Cool. Did you do anything fun?
Oh, I did lots of fun shit, dog. I saw Denzel Curry in concert. We teased that in the last episode.
Definitely a better live show than the Steve Jobs opera, I have to assume.
Yeah. I did not dress up in a costume, though, which a few people were, which is very fun. The Banana Girl got a shout out from Denzel. Yeah, I mean, cool new venue in SAC. That's nice. They had parking, or they had bike valets, so when I got there on my bike, there were people who, instead of just parking my bike, they just watch your bike the entire time for you. That comes into play because at the end of the concert, I had to go back to the back of the building to get my bike, and I got stopped by security because they were in process of getting Denzel into his getaway van, so I saw him as he was leaving the venue.
And he said, Denzel, I love you!
Actually, my voice was already too gone to yell at him. But yeah, my biggest takeaway from that show is just like, dude, the openers, even Kenny Mason, it was so clear how much better of a performer, how much better mixed his songs were. Like, really, the openers were just that really cliche of just like, all you can hear is the 808s. And like, as soon as Denzel comes on, his voice is clear. The beats are mixed well. The performance is so much better.
And like, really needs that for a Denzel show because it's like his songs are... Like, you know, if you couldn't make out what he was saying, it would just sound like noise and screaming, you know?
That's kind of.
You've got to have good mixing.
So that's what I really appreciated about it. It was like, damn, Denzel is showing his openers how to do it, and they're just not really doing it, which maybe they don't have the funds to do it, but you know.
I did see Denzel once before I really knew who he was. I saw him open for Joey Badass, like 2016.
That's cool. Shout out to the white lady next to me who knew every word but refused to say one of them. Let's see.
It was ultimate. She was dropping every N-word.
Shout out to Internet Shaquille, who he recently put out a video about how to make your white people tacos better. And in his Friday media roundup, he talked about the backlash he got from calling them white people tacos. And I don't know. I really like his response to criticism where he's just like, if the point you're making is that I couldn't make a video about black people lasagna, you are too dumb to be leaving comments on my video. Please stop leaving comments. Like, it was just like a perfect response to anyone who's mad or upset about him making a video about white people tacos.
If anything, so kind. It's not like he was disparaging. He was like almost overly diplomatic in that video.
No, that's what, he was like, I went over the script to make sure I didn't make any value judgments. I'm just saying, this is the thing people call white people tacos. Goes, here's how to improve them if you want.
That is so crazy to go out of your way to be so not disparaging and still have people be like,
I feel called out. And the last thing was, I finally went to go watch a cult classic in the horror sphere, Suspiria. I might have to watch the remake at some point. I think people actually like the remake better. I watched the original 70s Italian version at the Dreamland. I could definitely see during certain parts, like
Pasolini, something like that. Pellini, Pasolini, who's the director? Something like that.
Dario Argento.
Oh, I think I'm just thinking of Salad.
You're just being racist. What's his name? Panini?
Pizza Paula?
What's his name? Tony Soprano? No, there were definitely parts of it where I was like, man, this, for the time, and even like just for now, this is like incredible use of color, incredible cinematography. But the voice dubbing's a little bit weird. Apparently, that was a thing in Italian horror then, is that you had to be able to present it to an English audience and an Italian audience, so everything's dubbed over, which makes it feel really weird. And then, in terms of the pacing, there were a couple of times where I was a little bit bored during the movie, where I was like, this y'all hero? This is what we're doing? but no, there was some legitimately scary parts to it, and it was a really beautiful movie, so yeah.
I guess this was a big week for Big Facts No Cap, going to see live entertainment. I also went to see Varietorpia.
Black tie optional.
Tompkins again, and it was really fun. Yeah,
did he open with Power of Love?
No, it was a whole different show. Shout out to him, keeping it fresh. Yeah.
That's the variety. Who were the guests?
Oh, nobody I recognized. There was Medusa, who's like a Bay Area rapper. She was pretty good.
Cool.
And then, the best part of it was definitely the character. This was before the Pope was picked. He played like, I'm sure it's a character he's done before. He played like an Irish priest, and he was doing a Pope roundup.
Yeah. But yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Good show.
All right. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Not to be confused with Allen Iverson, we're talking about AI.
Artificial
intelligence.
Now, Adrian, has it reached you yet? Because, like, as a developer, I gotta say, it reached me...
a long time ago?
It reached me very quickly, and it penetrated my work immediately.
It reached you and penetrated you? Hey, yo!
Pause, come on. But yes, it did fuck me in my asshole.
Yeah, it spread those cheeks and filled you full of goo.
How about you? Has there been any, like, push in your work to use it?
As someone once eloquently put, like, 2 days ago in the professor's subreddit, why don't we just change the name of this subreddit to a chat room where people complain about AI? it's hit the education industry pretty hard.
But you guys are more concerned with students using it, not, like, how you can use it as professors, or is there...
There's a little bit of both. There's also people who, like, the person I'm working with this quarter is, like, pretty active of, like, I'm not going to try and spend too much time teaching students to code. My advice to them, use AI. It's pretty good at coding.
It's just really fucking good at coding. Like, it really does make a lot of the beginner coding stuff completely redundant. And, yeah, it's just really good at it.
Yeah, and, like, we were doing mid-quarter reviews where we were looking at, like, their weekly, like, self-assessments. And one of the students, he was like, well, her self-assessments are clearly AI written, but as long as she did what she did, I don't really care if the writing's hers. So he's, like, pretty, like, positive about, like, you know, we can make it work.
I will say, I mean, I could see the science world, like, it's not like it reflects on your quality of work to use it for something like the coding portion for statistics or even, like, the data viz portion. I mean, there's so many, like, right, like, all the graphs that I see in papers, even yours, it's very clear, like, you could be using a more, like, advanced graphing framework to make those graphs if you wanted to. And, like, with something like AI, you can probably spin up much nicer looking graphs pretty quickly.
Yep, probably.
But I feel like also, what would you call it? Like the outcome wouldn't be as, I don't know. It wouldn't be too different if, even with the quality AI would add to something like that, it wouldn't be a big jump in quality to the total product, which is more the ideas.
Yeah.
But encoding, like, holy shit, it really is like a, is a game changer.
Back when I first started grad school and I thought I wanted to go into science as like a R1 professor, I used to take comfort in like those like little infographics where it's like jobs that are least likely to succumb to being taken over by AI. And like number one was like therapist or whatever. But like number two or three was always like scientist. You had to have original ideas. That's like most of it.
Yeah. Well, therapist apparently is
they're
very
working on it.
Yeah, it's very likely to be at least qualitatively taken over. It seems like it's sad to say, but it does seem like people see results from just talking to anybody, including a lifeless robot.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Maybe it speaks to how lonely and atomized we all are, but
okay,
a lot of people seemingly do benefit from it. It sucks though, right? It's so depressing that this is just a thing now. The world would be better without it, right?
I don't know. Is it doing anything in the medical field or anything that's actually useful? Or
it is, yeah. I guess that's AI. I mean, with the language chatbots.
No.
That's more what I was talking about. I guess AI as a more generic term. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Like, should we define our terms? Like, what are we talking about?
You know, I was just kind of imagining we were talking about language models just because that's
the character that you're bringing in?
That's what's popular. I feel like most people say AI, they think ChatGPT.
I mean, a lot of AI imaging, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. That really is also, that's so depressing.
I was talking to someone last night about how they were at a Japanese restaurant with their friends the night before. And he was like, yeah, and one of our friends actually speaks Japanese. And so he was looking around the restaurant and he was just like, every piece of artwork on the wall is AI generated. None of the words make sense. None of the kanji line up in a way that make any sense. It's just weird neon Tokyo landscapes that they couldn't pay someone to make art for or find art of. They just made it with AI instead.
Yeah, the food world, I guess like front-facing businesses that used to have to probably pay like a small fee to either an artist or an art repository that they could pull from have all very quickly switched. Like you see it everywhere if you pay attention. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of prints and stuff now are very clearly AI generated.
Yeah. Wasn't that, we went to that taco place that in DC, right? Where all the artwork was AI in it.
That might have been one of the times I noticed it, but I think
it was like the AI'd photos of celebrities eating their food.
Oh, yeah. And it was like that sort of like very obviously kind of creepy AI where it's like their mouth is too big. Mm-hmm. And like wrapping around a burger.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So wait, when did, God, I'm getting confused with cryptocurrency, which has nothing to do with AI, at least idea-wise, right? I don't know.
No, other than being the last trend that all the like hype people were on. Except AI does... Here's this... Like, as somebody who actually works in this world, I always thought, oh, this is a dead end. People just want something to be hype about when it came to blockchain and crypto. Like, it was so obviously a forced kind of idea of, like, an interesting, cool new thing. AI is probably a detriment to society, at least large language models and chatbots as they're largely used are a detriment to society, but they are indisputably very powerful at what they do and actually like good at saving time for very for specific tasks.
Because I was gonna bring up Adam Conover getting into hot water recently because he promoted a cryptocurrency thing, but that's not AI, so I guess that doesn't matter. But
And it's depressing because it's like a lot of leftists, right? Their immediate take was, this is bullshit. This is another fake technology. It's another hype cycle. And I wanted to be like, I don't think so. Have you used it? It's really fucking freaky how good it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think the leftist take is that it's not being used in the way that a just society would use it. It's being used to replace workers instead of making our work easier, which I think is a take that still stands on AI. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's about how I,
take, obviously, yeah, correct.
Yeah. I don't know, how do you feel about, how do you feel about young Gen Zers who hate AI, who, do you think it's a cancelable offense? Are you in that camp of people?
What do you mean? It's a cancelable offense to hate AI?
Like, when people got mad at Late Night with the Devil, because they had like a 6-second transition scene that apparently had AI art in it. Oh. And so people were mad at the movie for that.
Oh,
or I think there's other companies on YouTube, like the big ones, like the Try Guys or whatever, where like, if someone finds out that there's an AI piece of artwork in something that they do, they'll complain about it. And then there ends up being a response of like, we tell our artists not to use AI. It slipped through the cracks. We didn't know, but it becomes a whole thing that they have to answer for.
I don't think I have a strong opinion on that. We've used it in this show for jokes. We've never used it to... I think I would feel fundamentally opposed to using it to create art for this show. If we're interacting with it to make a joke... So we're burning down the
planet for jokes, Paul.
I don't know why that feels different. Like, I wouldn't want it to create any sort of final product. The way we've used it is we've interacted with the AI bots to kind of mock them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess that doesn't change the fact that we've used it in the pod.
I made the theme song with AI.
A real early version. I'm not going to waste my energy getting mad at that. That feels like, what's that story of the Roman emperor who sent an army to stab the ocean and declared victory?
I didn't know about
over
this.
Over Poseidon or something like that.
Mm.
I think it's apocryphal, but... Yeah, I mean, to get mad at the Try Guys for saving some money, it's like, yes, if they were more...
No. Their excuse is that they didn't know that the artists that they're hiring use it.
Oh, okay.
And they tell them not to.
I think ethically you shouldn't, but I feel like to spend your time getting angry at people who do would be like, yeah, trying to stab at the ocean with a sword. Like, I don't know if that's going to be what stops the tide of AI from taking over.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that it almost feels like a kind of good crowd way to keep, not to resist the normalization of AI. But yeah, another good example is the Hivemind guys. The Hivemind guys just did a video where they did Mount Rushmores of different things, and they were judging people's Mount Rushmores, and all the Mount Rushmores were AI, because like, no one's going to actually take the time to do the artwork of like, what would my AI of fast food restaurants look like, you know? And so they acknowledged it off top, where they're just like, hey, I mean, that's what people post. We're not making any new images. We're using what people have posted.
Yeah.
But it felt like such a weird thing to have to walk on eggshells around. But yeah, you seem to be more interested in the language models. So,
the image models are interesting. That's definitely, that must be upending like graphic design and,
Oh yeah. That's what Phil wanted me to bring in is, in his rap battle with Patrick, MC P-Cup, part of what he was, one of his angles was about how Patrick is someone who does art, and yet anytime he makes a poster for an open mic or anything like that, he uses AI. So he's like, he's putting himself out of his own job or whatever.
I mean, but that's the thing. The way it's going to put people out of jobs is not because it's going to actually immediately replace individual artists. It's that the artists you hire will use it, and then they'll have a, you know, greater output, and then you won't need to hire as many. I mean, think about how easy it is to do social media posts. People still pay a comms person to do it.
Yeah.
And they will still continue to pay a comms person to do it. Now it just, maybe you won't have a whole comms team. You'll just have one person who can do 10 comms people's jobs because they have AI to manage and orchestrate everything. So yes, it's taking away jobs, but like, on an individual level, it's the artists themselves who are going to use it, or the people who were making the art previously.
So it's the people who are the class traitors who are willing to do it.
No. If we were going to redesign the website, I wouldn't want to use it to create new art for the website. Would I use it to code the HTML? Hell yeah. Like, because I would feel like, why am I wasting my time coding this when it can do it in a second and I have the subscription?
Yeah. Oh, so you're subscribed to an AI.
Oh, yeah.
So you're putting money in the pockets of big AI.
I'm putting money in the pockets.
All right.
I guess art feels more sacred in some sort of way. Like, I don't know. I don't know why.
You're using it to what? Like, write Mother's Day cards? Or?
Yeah. I'm like, I really just don't know how to tell my mom I love her. And then the AI is like, you should write, I love you, Mom. And I'm like, genius.
Damn, write that down.
That is also, another part of it is, that is seemingly how a lot of people use AI. They literally are like, can you write me a out-of-office message for Slack? Copy, paste. And it's like, why couldn't you think of that?
Well, that gets into my sphere of things, of the education of this country, and I don't know. That was a big article from The Atlantic this last month, was like, the elite college kids who can't read a book or whatever was the title of it that was going around. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with the student thing. You said, like, it was, like, a biography or something, or, like, people who were like, oh, write a little hello paragraph for me. Like, how is it faster to ask AI than to be like, hi, my name is blank, I like blank?
I don't know. It's interesting. Are you aware of the things? Like, I know people say that M-dashes are apparently an AI tell, but honestly, that would be my biggest worry as, like, an educator, is trying to call someone out on AI, because I really don't. Like, when we were looking at writing, and the other person that I'm working with was saying that it's AI, he was like, oh, it's clear based on, like, the way that it's using verbs. Like, it's trying to use strong verbs. And, like, that's a very clear AI thing, where I was like, I don't pick up on these things. The only way I can tell is if I know a student and I can be like, oh, that person didn't write that. But even then, I like knew someone in high school who got accused of like cheating on a paper, and literally like he was missing that day. And so the English teacher, which is kind of fucked up when you think about it, she was like, I'm going to read part of this person's paper and you guys tell me, like, he clearly didn't write this, right? And I was like, no, I think he probably did. I think he's just normally a slacker and you don't like him. like I wouldn't feel safe accusing a student of like using AI really at any point. And I don't trust the, like, submit your thing and it tells you whether or not it's AI.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird times.
Is that also run by AI? Who runs the, like, checking if something's made by AI thing?
Oh, no. Probably, right? You would have to be able to, like...
AI's gonna tell on itself? AI's its own snitch? What are we doing here?
Weird times. I think I don't have answers to these questions, especially because I'm not... My hands like aren't clean. Like I said, I use it for coding. Yeah.
There's people who complain about it, and there's people who embrace it, and there's, I think I told you recently that I was looking at a class that was advertising its syllabus, so they put out, like, here's the syllabus for the course, it's happening next quarter, and one of the sections of it was AI usage declaration. So it was, we have no opinion on whether or not you use AI in this course, but you have to declare that you used AI on a certain thing if you did. And I was like, that's a weird solution. I just don't know if people are going to admit to that, because it almost feels punitive. Like, you can say you don't care, but it feels like you care. Like, it's, I don't know if there's a good solution to that.
AI champions are all very weird people. It's something we could agree on, though, right? Like, people who are like, everything will change forever. And it's like, I think there's just going to be less people doing more jobs. It's going to be like every technology ever. I don't know if it's fundamentally going to free us all. In fact, I'm 100% sure it won't.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one to listen back to in like 2 years.
One of the things that gets me is, or one of the points about it that I think I thought was like really intelligent in kind of response to the like super hype AI champions is Captain Disillusion on YouTube did a video kind of like teasing those people. Or I think maybe he put it in a tweet, but it was like, when people are like, oh, if you're an artist and you're not using it, or if you're a blank and you're not using it, you're going to get left behind. And he's like, no, I won't. Mm. If I change my mind in a year, isn't the whole point that it can just do everything super easily? Like, if the difference between learning the skill set to do all of the CGI art that I do is hours and hours of work that I put in versus, oh, it's going to be so easy, you just click a button. I can learn to click that button next year if that changes. Damn. Like, this idea that you have to embrace it now or you're going to get left behind is, that's this the is stupidest hype, of hype all the bullshit. Ideals. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, you know what's really weird is that one niche that AI and that people, again, argue over, it's popping up in the diabetic community. There are type 1 diabetics that will post on the subreddit being like, I'm using ChatGPT to figure out how much insulin to take. Like, I gave it a food log. I gave it like a record of how much insulin I've taken and what it affected with my blood sugar. And now I just type in, here's what I ate. How much insulin do I take? And immediately people are like, not a good idea, dude. Not a good way to use this for your health in like a decision that you can like die from. Like, maybe don't do that.
Think about that is like, it's not that it wouldn't be good for that in some situation, but it's like that situation would be a model trained on effective diabetes treatments and strategies.
Yeah.
Using generic ChatGPT, it's going to be trained on as many people who had effective strategies as people who had ineffective strategies and just posted it online and it scraped it. Like, Yeah, why would you that's not at all targeted at actually giving you an effective strategy. It's giving you the median strategy that it's found online. Yeah.
But I think that goes down to what's at the root of all of this, which is just a not wanting to have to think about something.
Yeah.
Or not wanting to have to, yeah.
Which
is understandable.
Isn't that like all of modernity? Don't we all just go on social media because we don't want to think about what's in front of us at that moment? It's like, it's just kind of like a...
Damn. What am I, the Steve Jobs opera?
Isn't it just kind of a way to avoid hearing your own thoughts?
That got too real.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel that way. Like when I open my phone, it's because I'm just trying to...
Just trying to feel something.
Zone out. Yeah. I'm trying to feel nothing, man. Yeah. In a way. I mean, it's sad to say, but that is often the impulse to pick up the phone. It's like the outside world is not interesting me. Let me just zone out of this boring moment.
Yeah, yeah. All right, should we get to an article? Do we have a conclusion about AI going into this?
I don't know. Wait, am I going to get canceled?
You have an environmentalist GF. Isn't that a big part of it?
Oh, she's very anti-AI.
Mm.
Although her workplace is pushing it for making writing faster, so.
But isn't that... okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I know. Frustrating, right?
Crazy. Here we go. Here is my column. It's from Wired Magazine, Wired's advice column. I don't know if we've brought them in before. Okay, so this is Wired Magazine by Reese Rogers. Generative AI is my research and writing partner. Should I disclose it? We're actually going to do the second question instead of the first one. Here we go. How can educators teach adolescents how to use AI tools responsibly and ethically? Do the advantages of AI outweigh the threats? From Raised Hands. So I obviously brought this into my sphere of things, into the education sphere. But Paul, what are your thoughts on how to teach kids how to use AI properly?
Oh man, you're gonna know a lot more about this than me. You're in the trenches on those subreddits.
Hey brother, I'm getting out of higher ed, so I haven't thought too hard about this, to be honest.
I think the problem is they don't care, right? They're using it because they're lazy a lot of the times. They're not concerned with responsibility and ethics.
Are they lazy in a way that's different than when people 50 years ago would have done if they had the option?
No. I'm not saying, it's because they're a lazy generation.
In a unique way. Yeah, yeah.
It's the laziness impulse. It's the impulse to
speed. I think we can agree on that.
How do you teach them to use it responsibly and ethically? I think you can present the information and hope that the percentage of kids that are thoughtful and haven't had their minds scrambled will hear it and care. I don't think you're going to really expand it past that percentage of people who are ready to accept the message. I don't think you're going to turn kids who are not ready to accept that message into believers in responsibility and ethics.
I think what will most likely happen in the next few years is that AI and ethics will probably be a standard course in most universities.
But then the students will just ask AI to do their AI and ethics work.
That's true. Well, that's when you do the, I'm switching back to doing blue books and essays in class for my class. I saw a post about how that students were still using AI on that. I don't know how that happened in that person's
fully
class.
Fully analog teaching.
But yeah, in the same way that when I got my first research grant, part of what I had to do was like an hour-long seminar on research ethics. I think that it will likely, ethics and AI will likely become a part of core curriculum. I don't know when. I don't know how early. I don't know how early kids have access to these kind of tools. That becomes an equity issue, like in the same way that like certain kids don't get a laptop until they're in college, that certain students are only going to get AI in college and other ones are going to have it all throughout their entire K-12, which seems
problematic. Oh God, what psycho billionaire is going to release a program where they give free AI subscriptions to inner city youth?
Yeah, yeah, as a way of, yeah, doing DEI. I don't know. How can they teach adolescents to use AI tools responsibly and ethically? I mean, it's the same as anything else. You give them the information and they can do what they want with it. The other part of it is, yeah.
That's what I was saying. I think it's the same like engineering, right? We had like ethics courses or segments in classes about ethics. Ethics is not something you can really test on in a really structured way. I think you can just present the information and hope that the people ready to hear it care.
Yeah, which I think the people who are open to it were probably already less likely to do malicious things than people who aren't. Yeah, I don't know.
Do the advantages of AI outweigh the threats? That kind of goes back to what I was saying. It's like, does it almost...
It's a net negative, almost certainly.
it's almost certainly a net negative, but having that information, it feels like stabbing the ocean with a sword. Like, yes, we can try to not normalize it, but you know, when everybody's working from home and everybody's so
we need to return to office. That's what you're talking about.
No, I don't think that's a good answer either. But it's like, how would you possibly like dictate that people, like, it just becomes a thing where some people are self-censoring and others are doing it however they want. So it's just up to the person and how they feel. So I guess maybe.
Yeah, I think along with an ethics course, there's probably going to be some kind of revolution in assessment design that takes into account AI proofing. That will probably happen. That's going to make that's going to be a really hard thing to do with like trying to also teach equitably. So I don't know. That's why I'm glad I'm not trying to stick into this in this career path.
Do you think there will be a pivot to more like analog assessments? Where
I think so, but I think going back to what we used to do also like spits in the face of like 50 years of figuring out how to be more equitable in the way that you assess students.
So
like
have their own.
So I think that's what the issue is. Yeah. It's a tough question. I'm not going to figure it out.
No, we have till the end of this segment to figure it out, Adrian, before I start reading my advice column.
Okay. How can I
make every child watch 2001: A Space Odyssey so they get so scared of HAL that they never want to touch AI?
They get so scared of long movies.
Okay, skip to the HAL section of the movie. I guess HAL does show up like halfway through.
I'm going to say that we should, the plan, start a campaign, AI is for babies.
AI is for babies.
You can use it when you're young. Baby? Yeah, but like, what are you doing? Not actually writing your own words? What are you, a baby? And you shame people into not using AI. So it seems like
go ahead.
When people did open book tests or people did like, you can take a test at home type thing, I feel like that's maybe the closest scenario we have to this. And I think that was always like honor system. Is that what's uniquely different about this generation is that they're willing to lie more than other ones? Or
no.
Did you ever have a take-home test that you cheated on?
Oh, take-home test? Yeah, we used to work on those together for sure. Hey, Adrian, I've said it before and I'll say it again. My hands ain't clean.
You never wash them after the bathroom. I noticed that.
To AI champions, people who are like, it's a good thing we have it. It should replace all critical thinking and it will make everything faster and better if we just feed it into AI, get out answers. Because I guess what we're fighting against is the idea that it's a preferable world that most people won't be able to write, read, create art.
Yeah.
And that just seems like a depressing world where all that has been taken away from humanity. Do the people who like AI, do they have an argument for why, if nobody ever hones these skills, why they would ever improve them? Or is it just that it's going to be okay? Like, humanity without these skills, it's fine. Is that what they think?
I don't know.
And it's like, that's what it comes down to. It's like, I guess if, you know, I don't know a lot about behavioral ecology. I guess if these students can use AI and come to all the right answers and get to where you are, and as long as they have their AI tool with them, can generate critical thoughts as interesting about behavioral ecology as somebody like you who's trained in it, but they themselves just don't know the ideas. I mean, I guess the argument from the AI champions is that's substantively not different than the current world, except we just more efficient to do behavioral ecology. But it's like, does that not like depress them? Does that not like spit in the face of humanity to these people? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It reminds me of a philosophy professor that I had in undergrad who said something about how like the iPhone is like what Plato's ideal world would be, is you have all of the information, you have access to all of the information that the world has at your fingertips at any point. It doesn't seem to make anything better, though. It's like the end of that argument, though, is like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Plato thought that one all the way through then.
Damn, one of our least funny episodes, huh?
Yeah. All right.
Adrian, you got a fart in you or something?
No, I did that before the pod.
Damn.
Yeah. Should we get AI to write some jokes for this segment?
All right, let me ask it.
All right, I'm going to read the answer. Dear Raised, when it comes to education about generative AI, I think we should start young and stay realistic. Kids are beginning to learn computer literacy skills in elementary school and continuing through their senior year of high school. Lessons about safe, effective use of AI tools would not only help build strong technical skills, but also potentially help students forge a healthy amount of emotional distance from chatbots. Teachers and parents are rightly worried about kids using generative AI to fraudulently write their essays for them, or using ChatGPT and other homework helpers like ByteDance's Goth AI to quickly grab answers. Lesson plans more focused on in-class practice and discussion may help alleviate this issue. But focusing just on homework misses another looming threat to students. Over the next few years, I expect teenagers to dive further into long, heartfelt, and sometimes inappropriate conversations. Not with random strangers online, but with sweet-talking chatbots like Character.ai or Replica. Why is it shouting out all the different AI things you can use? Why is that part of the answer? During a difficult, awkward stage of life, already complicated by the harsh spotlight of contemporary social media, teenagers will likely turn even more inward and asocial, relying on synthetic companions to understand the world around them. Earlier in 2024, a teenager in Florida was an avid user of role-playing chatbots and confided thoughts of self-harm to the AI before his suicide, according to the New York Times. Teaching kids how to safely use AI is not only about avoiding false information, but also about avoiding unreal relationships and staying tethered to reality. Whether the advantages of generative AI in the classroom outweigh the threats is a bit of a moot point heading into 2025. The tools have already seeped into the daily lives of students. As educators, equipping these kids with the knowledge and skills to navigate the world around them is paramount. An unquestioning embrace of generative AI may not be smart, but a blind avoidance could be just as catastrophic. At your service, Reese, from the prompt.
All right, Adrian, I got some, Claude gave me some jokes to cut the tension after a conversation on AI.
Okay.
My therapist told me I have a complex about artificial intelligence taking over the world. I said, that's ridiculous. Alexa said, I agree. Siri said, same here. My Roomba just nodded silently in the corner. And then I said, well, make it funnier. And it said, I caught my smart fridge flirting with my laptop last night. The fridge was like, hey, baby, want to see my crisp drawers? And the laptop responded, only if you show me your ice maker. Now I can't unsee the USB ports as... Never mind.
It's pretty good.
Hey, shout out to Phil. It ain't taking comedians' jobs anytime soon.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Hey, Adrian, why did the AI ghost its Tinder match? It realized the relationship had no... This is actually depressing me. I'm not going to read the punchline.
Oh, okay. All right.
It realized the relationship had no future, literally. It couldn't process anything beyond next Thursday's server maintenance.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't think that's the way we're going to inject comedy in this episode. I think we'll do it with Paul's hilarious question that's coming up next.
All right. Cool. All right, Adrian, to get to my column.
This isn't from Kotaku.
Oh, does Dr. Nerdlove publish straight to their own blog nowadays?
Maybe, yeah.
This is from 2023, Dr. Nerdlove. Should I outsource my dating profile to artificial intelligence? Dear Dr. Nerdlove, I'm your average 20-something white guy trying to get back into the dating scene after a pandemic-enforced break and then a lot of other stuff that kept me out of the game that I'm not going to get into. Long story short, I'm trying to make up for lost time and make this the year I finally get a girlfriend for longer than a couple months. The problem is, the dating apps aren't working for me. I know this probably isn't anything you haven't talked about 1,000 times, but I'm not matching with anyone who's actually attractive to me. The women who are messaging me first are not my type, and let's leave it at that. And when I do match with anyone, the conversations end up going nowhere, or I think we're about to get somewhere, and then they unmatch me or just vanish and quit responding. That's not my question. Here's my question. Is there a good reason I shouldn't let something else do the hard work for me? I keep seeing offers for apps that use AI to match and message women until I get a date, and it seems like that could be a real benefit for guys like me who can't get a girl to match or even talk to us for long. If I'm already having a hard time with this, why shouldn't I let someone else do the hard work so I don't have to deal with all the frustration and anxiety and inevitable heartbreak that comes with yet another rejection? Better loving through science.
What apps is he getting advertised to him?
Yeah, I guess maybe because I'm not on dating apps, the algorithm isn't showing me.
I mean, I'm not getting them either, brother.
You're
I don't
not
know.
Getting advertised these AIs that message on Tinder for you. How would that even work? Does Tinder have like an API for it? Or does it just generate the message and you have to copy and paste it in?
Yeah, it's just like that episode of South Park where Stan uses AI to talk to his girlfriend the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
South Park, man. They really nail the reality of our situation. This feels like a...
Mercutio situation? I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, explain that for the audience.
Somebody whispering into Romeo's ear? AI's just whispering into our ear.
I feel like it would really put me off to go on a date with someone where I don't know what our initial conversation was.
Also, they're using AI.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's just a blind
You're both
date.
Using AI, yeah.
Also, what is this person's conception of their own charm level? I mean, we just saw AI making jokes. Yeah. What is their conception of how charming they are that they're like, yeah, a robot could probably do it better than me?
Yeah, yeah, it is. There's a lot missing in terms of his, I refuse to get into this deeper. Like, he does that like three times where it's like, yeah, I don't really match with people and I don't find them attractive. And even they don't talk to me that long, even if I do find them attractive. Let's not get into any of that.
How unappealing is he that AI would be doing a better job? He's just opened and was like, had crazy farts this morning. Oh my god, my farts, you should smell them. In fact, would you want a date? And then they unmatch him and he's like, not again.
What could I have said? What could I have done differently?
What could I even do?
Have you thought about doing this experiment? Have you thought about letting AI chat with Izzy for a day?
Well, we do live together, so I think the robot voice would probably be the... Or should I type it in? Like, should I look like I'm really busy my phone, type it in, get back the response?
Yeah.
No, I haven't thought of doing that, but good idea.
Yeah, save yourself some time.
Save myself some time of having to think about anything ever. I'm simply an input-output machine for the AI.
Using AI to match with people also seems weird. Why would you not want to do the matching yourself? That's not hard.
Yeah, that's kind of the fun part of dating apps.
Yeah, that's really the
that's
only
the part
fun
where
part,
you
yeah.
cast it
I
up
guess,
to
and
the
then
TV
the dopamine
and you have
of
all
getting
your friends
a match.
Comment on what's going on.
Dude, Pierce loves that. Apparently, Pierce lives for that shit.
Oh, I mean, I had so much fun doing that, too, when I was on the apps. Does he try to get you to do it? Because it's...
Yeah, he tries to get me to do it, and I'm like, nope, nope. I don't want you messing up my algorithm.
Man, judging people is so fun for a certain type of person, and me and Pierce definitely have that in common, that we find that fun.
Damn, you dirty little dogs.
No, I like helping women, too, with their swiping.
Okay. Okay. So you're like, that guy looks like he's got a big ol' hog.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, that guy looks conservative, but like the cool type of conservative. You know what I'm saying?
That guy's conservative, but he eats pussy.
But he eats poon.
He eats poon. He's a poon hound. You should match with him. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and swipe and match with him.
That hasn't happened in a long time, though. That feels a lot more like college and right after college type behavior.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everybody's sitting around a dating profile and commenting and trying to help someone.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've always said about dating apps. Not enough cooks in the kitchen. I hate when it's just me. Do you think Harris O'Malley's just going to call this guy a loser, or what do you think he's going to do?
Yeah, he's going to say, you're a fucking loser, dude. No, but like,
I mean,
it's like what you were saying. What is the, isn't that the whole point of dating? Like, you have to get to know them some, I mean, unless you're trying to get laid, but this guy said he wants a multi-month relationship. Isn't the whole point to like, see if your ideas and the way you speak is compatible with their ideas and the way they speak and get a feel each other out?
Didn't you tell me before that you get frustrated with too long of conversations before a first date? You really try and go like least number of messages to first date?
I don't want it to be an endless back and forth of bits and like, oh yeah, we like each other and we have this in common. It's like you want a certain amount of that and then to move on to like, hey, what's your number?
What's your location? Where can I find you? When are you most vulnerable?
I have a certain set of skills. And it's kidnapping women.
When are you going to share your location with me?
And if you just let AI do that for you, you don't have any of that. That's not what you just want to go on blind dates with random people. I guess that's not horrible either. Some people do, meet people that way. They get set up randomly by friends.
I can't imagine. Yeah. But your friends know you. That's still not random.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Unless
true.
It's literally just like, here's two sad people we know. We should get them together. I have been there where, like, there was a, I don't know how to best make this vague, but there were two friend groups that would often come together every now and then. And it really was like a, oh, our group has a very shy nerdy person, and your group has a really shy, nerdy person. We should get them together. I bet they'd like each other. We know nothing about if they share any values or any interests, but they're both shy and nerdy. They'd probably like each other.
And it worked out. Pierce and Nicole got married.
I don't. Yeah, exactly. I know two losers. I don't think they ever got a first date.
Damn. You know, back when I was on dating apps, it really did feel like so many people you talked to had the personality of a indescript robot. I bet I wouldn't be able to tell. I could definitely see myself being like, is this person using ChatGPT? The replies are so generic and nothing.
I don't think anyone's doing that, to be honest, on like a large scale.
You don't think so?
I don't.
With the amount of people, no, like I said, with maybe the people who use it for just like, oh, out of office email, or oh, let me just, I just need to send an email that says like, hey, finished up the work. Can you take your part now? The people who use it for that sort of thing is a lot. People use it for the most generic little.
Is that true?
Little...
People are really using that?
Yeah.
That's sad. I don't like that at all.
I'm pretty sure the like people who run this building, like through the resident portal, when I put in a reply, I'm pretty sure they reply to me with AI. It's like way too formal how they speak. It's like uncomfortable.
You don't think they just have like a template? We've received your message and we will look into it.
No. It's not like that. It's like, hey, Paul, sorry to hear about that. I don't know. It's just like this really weird, like, is staccato the right word? It's like this stunted short sentence, polite short sentence, polite short sentence, recap what I said. We will be sent. Yeah, I don't know. It's just really uncomfortable sort of speech patterns.
Interesting. Maybe I should start using AI for more of my emails. Sometimes I feel like I overshare.
What else? You know what you should use AI for? Just use it to
augment your pictures. Yeah. You ugly asshole. Come on.
I think people are using it for dating apps, and I think it's probably a miserable experience to be on them in a post AI world.
Probably.
I guess you're
but
on
like,
there.
Even pre AI world, dating apps were miserable. Yeah, I don't know. I think my most common interaction with a dating app right now was Hinge being like, get back on, otherwise we're going to turn off your compatibility or whatever because you're not using it.
Do you think...
They always do that thing where they threaten you every 2 weeks.
That's the thing about Hinge. That's kind of like Mafia. They're really shaking you down.
They're kind of doing that thing that Duolingo does, where if it's like 12 p.m. and you haven't done your daily lesson, they send an email saying no one stays away from Duo too long.
They also have a cunty bird.
Oh! Speaking of AI, yeah, the first AI-first company that's replacing all of its workers with AI, Duolingo. Very disappointing. I wanted to support the company as Guatemalan-owned. I don't think we can anymore. I might have to break my streak at some point.
Damn.
They even had, like, an apology thing where he basically just did a non-apology where he was like, nah, I think this is cool. We should be doing all AI.
It's like, isn't that going to destroy their business model anyway? If everybody had the same mentality as you, nobody would want to enrich their lives by learning another language. They would go, oh, I could just use an AI translator. It's like, if you're embracing that mentality, you've given up on the whole concept of humanity that would drive people to want to learn another language.
Hey,
you've just accepted that we should just all be okay with the bare minimum in every situation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference. Maybe because I don't think of coding as art. Or maybe it's because I'm a selfish asshole who's like, oh, it makes my life easier, so I'll use it for that. And I'm just making justifications around why I can use it and other people can't use it.
I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't think writing scientifically is an art, but like, I still think it's good to do on your own. Mm-hmm. It's good to have that skill. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be real scared when all these Gen Zers end up becoming my doctor and they only know AI. Have you met those kind of old people?
I think it'll be kind of cute if they actually replace them with a little robot that rolls into the room. As long as I don't have to see the human, so I know it's AI that way. I think a little Wally robot being like, ooh, yeah, it's stage 4, you don't have long. I'm going to be like, that's delightful.
There's
to
a little
hear
robot that comes up
you.
And it's like, the robot comes up and it's like, you're cooked, bro. You're like, what do you mean? They're like, I don't know, twin, you're cooked.
It is funny what information he holds back. I'm a 20-something guy. Why? Why 20-something? You're worried if you tell us you're 25, we're going to figure out who you are?
No, he's 29. That's what 20-something means.
Okay.
Otherwise, he would have said 30-something. And a lot of other stuff that kept me out of the game that I'm not going to get into. Have you been watching the new season of The Rehearsal?
Only the first episode so far.
There's a pilot that he talks to who talks about being banned from every dating app.
So that's just dick pics, right? How do you get banned from every dating app?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think some people in the subreddit found that he was on some weird reality TV show, but yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. I did watching that first episode of The Rehearsal, I was like, this pilot's a weirdo, but I do feel bad that he might lose his job over this show. Is that worth it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. People are starting to get a little bit into the ethics of it. I don't know. What are you going to do? Where does it stop if you use AI to start a relationship? Is that one of those rom-com things where you have to admit it at some point, or?
When she keeps referencing all those beautiful messages you sent her at the beginning of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, can you say that poem you wrote me again? Yeah, about your beautiful eyes.
Can you tell me that joke again about my smart fridge?
That's when I knew you were for me. That was the funniest smart joke fridge I'd ever... The funniest smart fridge joke I'd ever heard.
See, that's why you gotta use AI for this.
Yeah. Stumble over your words like me, right. You're gonna look like a damn fool. Do you think this guy, if he could actually use AI on a date, he would want to? Like, he would want to just never actually talk to the person he's dating? The ultimate goal would be to never interact with them, just be able to say they're his girlfriend.
Do you think AI can do the sex for him, too? Yeah. He's doing a thing where he pretends he has explosive diarrhea, so every time she speaks, he has to go to the bathroom to type in what she says. Have I ever told you that story that I feel like the person was definitely over-exaggerating, but they were talking about how they interviewed for a bartending job, and, like, the interview was them giving them, like, a set number of drinks where they're like, make one of these for us, make one of these for us, and he was like, no problem, I just gotta go to the bathroom real quick. And so he'd go look up the recipe for every drink that he got him to make, and it happened like 4 times, and I was like, there's no way, like, this is an actual story. But it is funny. It's a good sitcom story. Yeah, honestly, like, I think the closest situation I've had to this was the last person that I went on dates with. We went on like one date a month, and we would text like once or twice a month. So like we'd have long conversations, but by the time we like actually went out together, it'd be like, oh, I know you have a sister, maybe two. I can't remember. It's been a long time since we've talked, and we haven't really solidified this information. But yeah, it seems crazy to me to go into a... I guess you can read what AI wrote and what she wrote, and you can read your conversation or whatever and see what was there, but it just seems weird.
Yeah, catch up on who they are.
Yeah.
What if AI agrees to go on a date with them, and then you scroll back through it and they've been saying the creepiest shit the whole time, been looking for somebody to end it all with?
Ooh, yeah. And that's the thing about ChatGPT, is that always yes ands.
It always yes ands.
It was taught by an improv person.
That's what they trained it on, Second City.
Yes and.
All right,
we killed ourselves in space? Yeah, let's hear the answer.
Okay, so I realize the easiest thing I could do here is just say no, make a joke about all the bots that are already on Tinder, and call it good. But honestly, there's a lot in this that's actually worth talking about. But first, a slight digression. Recently, I've been getting a lot of emails from folks who have offered, oh so generously, to set up an AI chatbot that would scan my columns and talk to my readers and clients for me in my voice. It, they say, would give me more opportunities to help people, free up time for me, give people more ways to access my advice, and even help guide people to my funnel. Amusingly, I know that similar offers being made to sex workers, especially women with OnlyFans or other accounts. Just as amusingly, those are all non-starters for the exact same reason. Because no large language model, no matter how well trained, is going to be able to actually replace the basic human connection. Whether it's chatting up people on OnlyFans or dispensing advice to folks in distress, the whole reason people come to us is because they want to talk to us specifically. Putting up a fake version is just creating more barriers between the audience and creator. Worse in some ways, because it's almost insulting by saying, here, let this fake version entertain you. It's almost as good as the real thing. And that's before we get into issues like not being able to monitor what it's saying to everyone, and the way this can turbocharge the falsity of parasocial relationships and a whole host of other ethical, logistical, and other minefields. Now, I bring this up for a couple reasons. One is that AI right now is occupying the space that NFTs and crypto occupied months and years before. Someone created a solution, and now they're off in search of a problem, regardless of whether anyone actually wants or needs it. The odds that this will A, do what's promised, B, do it well, and C, not have an untold number of negative side effects are all very, very high. Another is that ChatGPT and the rest aren't actually intelligent. They're not thinking, they're not generating unique thoughts, and they're not even at the vaguest level of what we might call sentient. They're just word calculators, a very fancy version of autocorrect that knows that if you use this word, the odds that the next word will be that are high. There's no originality, there's no consideration of context or anyone's unique situation, and no actual personality. At best, the results you would get are social interactions equivalent of the uncanny valley. If you've ever had a conversation with someone who was trying to reach Jerry, but got all embarrassed they had the wrong number and want to talk to you instead, then you've seen just how weird, off-putting, and inhuman these conversations are. But most importantly, much as how a chatbot is just a barrier between me and the people who want or need my advice, that barrier and interference will be even worse for anyone trying to use a dating app. So let's talk about AI. Dating apps, frustration, and outsourcing for a second, shall we? First and foremost, BLTS. If you're in a position where you need a tool to manage your dating app usage, you're absolutely using them wrong. I realize the ubiquity of dating apps combined with the worldwide PTSD of the pandemic means that more people are turning to the apps to find love, but quite frankly, very few people use them well. Dating apps cannot and should not be a complete replacement for how you meet people. I could go on for hours and thousands of words about all the issues with dating apps, but I'll focus on one area, the swiping mechanic. Swiping and the seeming gamification of dating apps was a mistake, and it's made them all worse. It's created a dark pattern that prioritizes matching over meeting and results in weird SEO-esque bullshit and attempts to game the system in order to maximize matches and being in front of people. This is great if, for example, you're trying to sell boosts or turbo mode or whatever. It's horrible if you're trying to make an actual love connection with another human being. Dating apps should be a supplement, at most, to how you meet most people, not a replacement. Swiping on someone should be something you do for 5 to 10 minutes when you have some downtime, not something that's become so involved that you consider outsourcing it to a bot. If you're in a position where you're looking at using a bot to maximize your potential output, you need to back away from the apps. Go outside and talk to some women in person because you're not going to meet them otherwise. Second of all, you're focusing on the wrong things. One of the trends I've seen... Oh my god, okay.
Holy shit, this is so long.
You're focusing on the wrong thing. One of the trends I've seen both in general and the folks who come to me for help with online dating has been a focus on getting matches, not dates. Yada, yada, yada. Third, if any of these services worked correctly, and that's a mighty big if, then all you're doing is setting yourself and your matches up for disappointment. At best, you're putting barriers between yourself and making a real connection with someone by having them or their LLM chatbot talk with a fake version of you. There's going to come a point where you and they are going to have to meet up in person, and now you're going to have to deal with them yourself. Problem isn't going to be that you won't be able to replicate your LLM version's banter. It's that you're going to be talking to someone who A, you don't know, and B, whose connection with you is based on a lie. Yada, 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 yada. Fourth, if this worked as promised, and again, big if, then you're going to sign up for a subscription fee just in time for all the app designers to make these AI tools useless, okay? That seems like a good point, so I'm going to skip those paragraphs, but good point. Yada, yada, yada. Fifth, AI is already affecting your dating apps. Dating apps aren't an accurate measure of your desirability or popularity or what have you. Every dating app out there uses algorithms that dictate who sees your profile and where your profile sits in their timeline. If you feel like the only people the app is suggesting to you or who's seeing you and messaging you first aren't your type or aren't the people you're attracted to, that's in no small part because what you're experiencing isn't an organic connection. This isn't a genuine measure of your attractiveness. It's what some tech bros in Palo Alto think about you. You aren't getting bad matches because you're less attractive than a walking pile of sentient tumors. You're getting them because a bunch of guys who never met you think those are the people who are in your league and hard-coded into the app. Okay, he gives some more proof of that. Yada, yada, yada. Now, that being said, I can see a very limited use case for using LLM apps in online dating. Like I said, ChatGPT and other LLMs are just word calculators. Shout out to Adam Conover.
Oh, grifter. Grifter alert. Just got in hot water.
That is crazy that he's not... If he's hawking a fake product right now, why is it not a LLM thing? Why is he going to crypto?
So that's where the money is. They paid him.
Crypto. Put a couple words in one way, and it'll use those to spit out a different combination. An LLM like ChatGPT might, and I stress might, be useful for writing your profile. Take a couple of paragraphs and try to reword them to present facts about yourself in a different way, or just spur some ideas and get past the blank page problem. Would not be a horrible use of the tech. It could even be somewhat useful for doing some A-B testing on your profile. Do folks respond more and more positively if you use this version versus this one? Is there a better way of presenting the information about yourself and so on? That might be helpful for filling in your profile and still present an honest version of yourself. But as with every other aspect of online dating, you need to remember that the ultimate goal is to meet the person in person. To do that successfully, you need to present your best, most authentic self. And no app, no matter how large its database or how well-trained it may be, is going to do that. You're going to have to handle that part on your own. And while dating apps can be frustrating, something I fully agree with, adding more tech isn't going to fix that. You can't disrupt love. No matter what tech bros pitch to their VCs, love is messy. It's analog and it's organic. There's no replacing the human part of a human connection. Good luck.
God damn.
I think he hit a lot of the same points as us.
Yeah. In way fewer words.
Hey, Dr. Nerdlove, maybe asking an LLM to make it a little more concise, says the people with a 2-hour podcast.
God damn. It only come, I think our longest episode's been 1:40. Yeah, I thought that was fine. I think it leaned into, like, his profile and whether or not his profile is correct, I don't think was really the question. The question was about talking to people. I think there were some tangents that were probably useful, like thinking about meeting in person being the metric, not the matches. But yeah, that was fine.
Cool.
He did also bring up the fact that they could also be using AI, so once you guys actually meet up in person, what are you guys even doing?
Which, yeah, has been a theme of this episode, which is just like, what is the end goal here? We're going to just completely remove the person from all of this, and it's going to be LLMs talking to LLMs and then telling us what to do.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the, what do people love talking about? The dead internet theory or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's coming.
All right, Adrian, do you want to do a topical tip for the third segment?
Yeah, let's bring it back to the basics. What are we doing?
Okay. So I've talked about my car drama on the pod a good bit, but there's been some recent developments.
Oh, shit, dog. Okay, what do we get?
So, I bought a car last year. We've had this, like, long, winding drama about, I basically got it and the air conditioning wasn't working, sent it back to the dealership to be repaired across many months and many repairs, and I still eventually got it back and the air conditioning wasn't working, so I was pretty peeved about that. So, I wrote...
Pretty cheesed off.
I was cheesed, fam. So, I wrote a pretty long-winded... review of both the Hendrix dealership that sold me the car and the Hendrix dealership that repaired the car.
Shit, we're putting them on blast.
And posted that to, you know, like Google reviews. Then I sent that review over to group chats with my family and with you and all our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And told everybody to like it. Apparently, it worked like a charm, because I've, in the last couple days, gotten calls from both dealerships trying to get me to take down the review and make things right with me.
Ooh. Uh-huh. And what have they done?
The first person just kind of condescended to me about how good the repairs were and that, like, sometimes things just go wrong in cars. You have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him for, like, I don't know why I entertain these calls. Like, fuck them. But I you know, I keep hoping that maybe they'll be like, we'll offer you some money to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, no, I just talked to him for 20
because
minutes.
Because the repair right now looks like how much?
$2,100.
God damn.
And I think I'm just going to go without air conditioning because I'm not confident that it'll even work considering how many repairs on this air conditioning have been done. And then, yeah, so I talked to him for 20 minutes. He even called the place that I'm getting it repaired now to ask them for more details about the repair, just to call me back and be like, well, see, I mean, that's a new issue because it wasn't your compressor that was broken last time. We replaced your condenser. That's what wasn't working last time. And multiple parts can fail. And I was like, yeah, still feels like you fucked up not finding both issues, if that's your claim. But I don't believe that's correct. I think you just didn't diagnose the issue correctly. I don't think... multiple hoses have leaked and the compressor and condenser are both broken. I don't think that's, at that point, it's your fault for not seeing that before selling me the car. Well, I guess they were the dealership that did the repairs. And then the Hendrix dealership that sold me the car called me today to be like, okay, we want to make this right. We can help you do a trade-in for another car.
Yo, oh, okay. Well,
but that immediately sent up red flags because I was like, trade-in? Okay, is it going to be for the same value I paid for it? They cited me, I paid $14,000 for the car. They cited me, well, we can do a trade-in value of $9,500. I was like, go fuck yourselves. I bought it a year ago.
Wait. So you bought it a year ago and you got repairs on it and it's worth less?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, yeah. I was like, look, that might be what you buy it for somebody who walks through the door, but that's not what I expect. I'm expecting you to make it right. You sold me a shitty broken car. It's obvious these places want to, you know, make it right in the sense that like their manager is like, please get this bad review off our pages. Also, he claimed he was calling me about the email I sent 3 months ago. And I was like, you're calling me about the email I sent 3 months ago a few days after I left a bad review. Interesting.
They never responded to that one. Damn.
So overall scumbags.
So wait, can we ask, I've been asking you for a long time when you're going to leave a review or something like that. When did you decide to start the war? Why did you decide it now?
I went and asked for another, repair here and I was like, $2,100. Oh, fuck these people. Did they do nothing to fix this car? Did they just sell me a broken car, claim to be fixing it multiple times across 6 months and then just do nothing? So yeah, that's why. I will say it is funny that they're calling me and it's like, also, why do you think I would go through your trade-in process to get ripped off by you again? Like, fuck off. And then he's like, well, you got to understand, we're still a for-profit company. We're trying to make money. I'm like, yeah, obviously.
I believe that. God damn.
So this is my PSA. Fuck Hendrix. But also, should I keep entertaining their calls? Because, I mean, all of them are like, please call us back if you want to discuss it more. I don't know what that means, but I don't know. Is there anything else I should do?
This feels like something. What was your, like, when you sent it into your family group chat, did your brother or parents not have advice for you?
They were like, yeah, this seems like it's horrible. It sucks. That's about.
All right. So we're doing a topical tip for Paul. What should you do? What kind of tone are you taking when you're talking to these guys?
I think pretty amicable. I keep saying fuck you during this, but I mean, that's me hamming it up for how I feel. I keep trying to be as polite as possible because I don't want them to tag me as difficult.
Paul's the Jordan Peele, but his brain has that Keegan-Michael Key or whatever, the Obama translator.
Exactly.
You need an Obama translator.
I'm not trying to get tagged as difficult here.
Put Izzy on the phone.
Oh, she's too nice. She'd be like, oh, it is our fault it broke.
That is true. You're right. You have told me that before. I thought you were dating a fiery Latina.
No. I keep a very, this is your fault, I've been wrong tone, but I keep it very, like, polite to the person.
Is it someone higher up that's calling you, or is it, like, a lowerling?
They're always, like, the customer satisfaction person or something like that.
Quoting you $5,000 less for the car is insane.
I know. Insulting, right?
Yeah. What made you choose this place in the first place? You really wanted a Kia?
No, it's a Hendrix. They have multiple, like, you know, there's like a Hendrix of Toyota,
a car lot.
Hendrix
okay.
of Kia. Gotcha.
Oh, you know who you should talk to? Phil's dad owns a car lot. He could give you some insight into the enemy's mind.
Yeah, but these aren't car, like, this is like, the reason I bought from them is because I was like, I'm making the responsible decision. I'm paying a premium, but they're a place that, like, they aren't like, they're not like a skeezy used car salesman. No offense to Phil's dad.
What?
But like,
yeah, okay, he mostly sells golf carts now.
But that's like what car lot says to me. I was like, I'm making the decision where they've done all the work to make sure it's a good car. I'm buying a certified used Kia.
You got the Carfax.
Yeah, they got the Carfax. They did all the heavy lifting on making sure I'm not getting scammed. And then, yeah, they just sold me a car without air conditioning. Yeah.
And they made you go somewhere else to do all the repairs, which doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know about that.
Well, I asked for that because I was living in Charlotte and they were based in Apex, North Carolina. The Toyota dealership I bought it from was based in Apex, but the Kia Hendrix was in Charlotte. So I went there for repairs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that drives me insane is their insistence that these two Hendrix dealerships, they're like, what you have to understand is that we're franchised separately. So we don't even, I'm like, but you're both Hendrix. I don't care about your like franchising. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to play me off the other Hendrix that it's their fault or mm-hmm. their problem.
You got mom and dad fighting?
Yeah, yeah. They keep trying to play me off of ask the other dealership. Like, oh, well, it's kind of them that screwed you when you think about it.
At what point do you just drive your car into the facility with a bomb strat?
I drive my Kia into the side of that Apex dealership.
Pretty little souped up Hendrix dealership. Damn.
Should I keep entertaining the calls? At this point, I feel like a little, it's so funny that now they want to make me a satisfied customer. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really transparent. It's so funny that they pretended that they were following up on an email that you sent.
Yeah, months ago. The first person just said, I saw you left a review. It was a second dealership.
Yeah, yeah. That seems, yeah. I mean, so I know that Super Eye Patch Wolf has a video specifically about buying a new computer from Dell that he got all of his like Patreon members to be, who were computer savvy, to be like, here's everything you need to have like a really good editing or whatever. He didn't get any justice until he released his video detailing how bad the process of getting his computer to actually work was. What else do you have in terms of levers to pull? Can you get more people to like the reviews, or like, What's the next move for you in your supervillain arc?
I don't know. I think I've just been bested because, like, lemon laws don't cover a lot of things like that aren't powertrain.
Yeah.
Like, if it's air conditioning, that's kind of considered a feature, and it's not like...
Oh, that's cosmetic. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In D.C. and Charlotte, it's very easy to get by without AC during the year.
I know. It's infuriating, huh? At some point, I guess I will get it repaired. It's like, I don't want to pay the $2,100 because I'm worried it won't even fix the issue. That's the other question. It's like,
yeah,
did they sell me a car with a little gun pointed at the air conditioning and after every fix it fires off to destroy it again? Like,
I've been in that situation before, too, where I had like a noise that my car was making. The guy who worked at the place that I went to took it for a ride. He was like, here's what I would suggest you do. And I was like, cool, so that'll fix it? And he was like, well, there's no guarantee it's going to fix the issue, but we'll do the work. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what? I guess, if you want to make like a parallel to like health, I guess like doctors sometimes do that. But like, that feels like such a weird interaction with a doctor to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know that problem you've been having with your health? We can do this surgery and that's going to fix it. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
And the place here in DC, they're not involved with this. I don't blame them. But I was like, I'll pay for the repairs. Is there any way I can get it insured? So if the air conditioning doesn't work in a month, like you'll continue the repairs. They're like, no, we don't do that unless that exact part breaks again. I'm like, but is there no insurance for like if it's misdiagnosed what needs to be fixed? Mm-hmm. Like if the air conditioning just doesn't work again, like doesn't that feel like it's also the responsibility of the person who diagnosed the issue? And they're like, well, other things can go wrong. And I'm like, how many things in a row could go wrong on an air conditioning one after another?
I feel like you're getting a lot of mansplain stuff to you right now.
No, it's so annoying. And
yeah,
there was this one point where he was explaining to me what went wrong with it, and he was like, you see, it couldn't have been us that screwed up the fix in the first dealership, because if we did, it couldn't have been the compressor that broke, because if the compressor was broken, it wouldn't have worked at all when you got it, because it can't function at all with a Freon refill if the compressor is broken. And I'm like, but the next place I went to do a repair refilled it and said that it was like they refilled it and it blew cold again. So what you're telling me is that compressors can't be broken? I don't know. Like, I was like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I remember one of the most frustrating, like, it's one of the most, I wish I could go back and say something different, but when my dad and I drove the second car that I was buying to replace the really bad, shitty car that was causing me a bunch of problems, we drove it all the way across the country. My dad's driving around town while he's hanging around, and he gets into a car accident and totals the car. And so we drove to a place to get like an evaluation for how much it would cost to get fixed. And the guy who looked at our car was like, oh, well, you need to do this. You need to do this. Also, like, it was fixed before and like the white paint doesn't match. So we're going to like paint it so that all the white matches. And after all of the evaluation, I was like, okay, so in all this stuff that you're citing to me that we need to get done, what is like needed for the car to just run correctly? And he was like, all of it. And to this day, I'm still like, part of what you said to me is that you're going to paint the color to match. There's no way that's part of what makes the car run. Fuck off. And I identified it, but I just didn't say anything in the moment. And that still haunts me to this day that I was like, that would be such a slam dunk to be like, no, you guys are fucking scamming us.
Car trauma is such a real thing. People will just do or say anything.
Yeah.
Whatever, we have you by the balls. You don't know how to fix a car, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And then I do that thing where I like Google, like, how hard is it really to replace a air compressor in a car AC? And it's
depends
like, yeah, it's basically impossible. You're going to kill yourself if you try. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have that this Friday. I'm going to be doing a mutual aid friend is going to come over and help me replace my car window because I don't want to pay for someone else to do it. So saving myself a few $100 doing that.
What's
as
that
long
mean?
As
like
it goes
with glass?
Well.
That seems pretty hard. A new paint?
No, it's pretty easy. I sent you the picture of my broken window. But yeah, all you have to do is just open the like access to the window mechanic, which I've done before because I thought my window was broken in my other car, and then you just replace the actual glass window.
How much
so
does
my
that
friend
cost?
PJ knows how to work on cars.
Did you have to like buy that from like a specialty like sort of website? That feels like it could be a cool hundo.
Carparts.com. Got it for $30. Shipping was expensive, so it ended up being $60. Plus I had to do like a if it breaks on the way insurance thing. But I was quoted $380 from Safelite. I did get a quote from a local company that was like $160 out the door, and I would have taken that deal if I had known that beforehand. But yeah, instead of the $100 paid to someone else, I'm just gonna work on it with PJ. All right, big facts, no cap. Pauly Bowie, what you got for us?
Big fact. AI is scary, man. I don't want it. Can we just go back to not AI?
My no cap. I never watched it, but I assume the DCOM Smart House is probably a better AI movie than that AI horror movie that came out last year with John Cho. Not that good. And that's the scariest thing of all. Not very good cinema.
Hey, it's all going to be not very good once AI gets its grubby little hands on it.
Hey-o. All right.
Bye.